Welcome, everybody. This is a teleseminar with live with Tom Zeeb. And, I forgot exactly what I called this, Tom, but I think it's something like you need to have, some things you need to know from a nice guy from D.C. who sells a $25,000 a year coaching program. And the key thing, as I mentioned in the emails, it's not the $25,000 a year price tag, and it's not the fact that it's coaching. It's the process that we went through to build this, because the process that we followed to build this applies to pretty much anything, whatever it is that you're selling. And we do have people selling different things, all sorts of products and services on the call. I'm just going to briefly mention, last week we had a teleseminar, and what we did last week was I walked you through the five steps of a consistent flow of customers, and I appreciate everybody who shared their feedback by email. And especially those of you who enthusiastically shared how it really helped turn the light on for you about the things we talked about what it takes to build a simple system that brings you a consistent flow of customers. I think I've gotten emails every day since then. And it's been great to talk to those of you who we've had a free strategy session as a result of that as well, and those of you who are scheduled in the future. And today, this is a live case study with Tom Zeeb, who's a client of mine, been working with for a little more than half a year now. And what we want to do is take those five steps and bring them alive. And we're going to walk through and talk about how it is that we built this, how we applied those five steps to Tom's business. And the idea, of course, is also that it should help you understand how to apply it to your business. And if you have any trouble making that jump, you feel free to ask me at the end when we open up the line for questions, because making that jump sometimes is a little tricky for people, understanding how, okay, it makes a lot of sense, but how does that apply to me? Now, what does Tom do? Tom teaches people how to be successful as real estate investors. He teaches people how to, through just several deals a year, they could replace their full-time job. And, of course, that gives you a lot of time, a lot of choice of what to do with your time. Tom loves to travel and gives him that time, and this is a lot of the people that he comes across like to travel as well, and it gives them that ability. So I'm not the expert on the real estate stuff, but I know it definitely gives people the ability to then build up more of a passive revenue over time. Now, Tom, I'm going to ask you to tell us your story in brief. I just want to say one more thing. Again, there is nothing for sale on the call today, no buy button, no sales page. So I do want to make my ulterior motive clear, though, and that is that, again, as I mentioned last week, I am putting together a coaching program called Plenty of Customers. It's an action mentoring program, and we're beginning in the beginning of 2012. And my agenda simply is this. We're only going to have about 12 people in the group. I'm not looking for hundreds. It's going to be very much hands-on with me and a group of others who are on the same path. And my belief is that by putting all this good stuff out there, those 12 people will find their way towards me. So towards the end of the call, I'll just give a few more sentences about that. And if you feel that it's right for you, just send me an email and we'll talk about it. So Tom, why don't we start with just a little bit of your background, where you're coming from. What's your story?
Sure. I've always been more on the operational side of things. I came out of the corporate world, operations side of the business, the sales side, the marketing side. Well, the marketing side always just was mysterious to me. The sales side, honestly, a little bit annoying to me. Sales guys would always promise something I couldn't deliver, and then I was stuck, on the operational side trying to deliver it. And but I got tired of having a ceiling on what I was able to make, and I knew I could do better on my own. And so I left the corporate world, jumped in headfirst to entrepreneurship, and was flat in my face for a while, and then started doing some solid real estate deals. Over time, people were asking me to help them, because they see me doing deals, being active. I had some of our local investor associations, and always standing up with a success story, always standing up with another deal to offer. And you start to get a small following of people going, hey, can I take you to lunch? Can you teach me? And then you realize you're answering the same questions over and over again, and everyone's stuck at the same spots. And so you start to do some writing, and next thing you know, you've got a small home study course. Next thing you know, you basically have a small coaching program. So I I started it formally as a coaching program. This would have been late 2004, early 2005. And then I started focusing as much on bringing people into a coaching program as, continuing to do deals on my own. And then as time went by and you had a decent flow of students, I would keep raising prices. And then two things happened. You get to a certain point where you go over a pricing mark where it just doesn't happen anymore. You actually have to know what you're doing. And at the same time, you know, considering the years that's covered there since 2005, the economy changed, and people think before they spend them. And so just being out there as, hey, I'm a real estate coach, that wasn't enough anymore. And kind of everything collapsed on me because of it, because I didn't really I knew what I was doing on the real estate side. I had no clue what was happening on the sales side. That's when we met.
What did you start charging? What were you charging at first?
Oh, well, originally, I think the first couple students, I only charged $1,000 to join the program. Then that went up to three, then it went up to five, then it was like between 8 and 15, and it was basically right around that, when we jumped from like five to eight $1,000, that's when it just kind of, the bottom fell out. And that was a combination of not having a process, not having any sort of idea how to bring potential people through to understand what that investment is worth and why they should do it, at the same time with the economy tanking. So you actually have to know what you're doing to get a result. I'm not the kind of, I don't like to hide behind, oh, well, the economy killed my business. Well, I would argue, because I hear people use that excuse all the time, I would argue it's the economy didn't kill your business. It was your lack of adaptation to what's happening that killed your business. So I wasn't adapting because I didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm. I just want to give everybody a little bit of a broader perspective of what you're up to, just to fill out the picture. So you also have you own the Washington, a REIA, Real Estate Investors Association, REIA, in the Washington, D.C. area. Just tell us what that is, how you came to own that, and what, and just a few sentences about what that actually looks like.
Certainly. We actually came to buy it. We took it over from the previous.
What is it?
It's an association of real estate investors who meets monthly. It's like a trade group. So it's aspiring real estate investors of all levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced, who aspire to be flipping houses on their own independently. So it's a source to exchange deals, announce deals, exchange resources, talk about, you know, potential team members, and what, you know, who are good attorneys, who are good renovators, who's a good who's a good realtor, an estate agent. Everyone comes together and that meets on a monthly basis. We also have there's an educational program that goes along with that, so everyone's in on a monthly basis, and we usually also tend to do an all day seminar once a month as well, so people can learn a specific niche within the business on a monthly basis. It's a trade group.
Okay. You usually have about how many people at a monthly meeting?
We usually have 80 to 100.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Just want to give people a sense of what your month looks like. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, great. So you had we got to a point where you decided that you wanted to grow the coaching aspect of your business. You had moved into the REIA business as well. I'll also add that you were awarded the number one REIA award. I forgot what it's called. You can remind us. You won the national.
Award of Excellence from the National Association of Associations.
Right, of real estate. Right. Okay, the Award of Excellence. That's right. That's number one out of several hundred across the United States. Largely because of the quality of the education that you provide. That's as I recall.
Right.
So we haven't talked about it in months. So we're talking about, you know, someone who works hard and works smart. But you had this problem. Tell us about the problem.
It was when it came down to it. When I said, look, if I'm going to stay in the coaching business, it's got to be worthwhile. I've built an awesome system. I've got a big investment in it, solid legal contracts and marketing tools and techniques, but I wasn't drawing new people in. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm watching people, particularly in the association, they're telling me that they're in other coaching programs, oftentimes in other parts of the country. You know, they're being remote and they're not, and they've spent big money. They've spent $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 US to be in these programs, and they're not entirely satisfied. And I'm asking them what they have in the program, and it's somewhat lightweight, or it's not as serious focus as what I can offer them. And there was a little bit at the beginning. Some of it was some people will make ourselves justification purely on price. I couldn't be as good. I only charge $5,000 or $8,000. Well, someone else, they charge $25,000. That must be the better program. Mm-hmm. I was getting hurt by some of that. But then when I just kind of said, all right, fine, I'm going to charge that, it didn't instantly start raining customers either, because for someone to make that level of investment, they've got to be brought through a process. And that's what these other programs were doing that I wasn't, was at least having having a sales process. I didn't really know where to start on that, because everything I had tried in the past had failed pretty miserably.
You just gave me a thought. I'm going to open up the lines for a second. I think that a lot of us have been through that point of view. Is anybody else here at a stage where you could look around and you see there are other people who are not doing as good a job as you, their product or service is inferior, and yet they are selling much more? Anybody else at that stage? Just say yes or no.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right, there's always it's a horrible frustration, because you know you've got the goods, you know you've got quality, you've done it yourself, you teach people good, you've got a nice group of success stories, and yet other people judging from the outside, they're not there, and you don't know how to convince them, and that's where I was at, lingering for most of last year, slightly before that, all through last year and the beginning of this year. And just going, why isn't – I'm not getting the right flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So let's talk about what it is that we actually started to do. And here I'm going to just I'm going to be mentioning the steps that I mentioned at the teleseminar last week. However, if you haven't yet listened to that one, and if you haven't listened to that one, just don't take it on. You know, what I'll be doing now is like reading a menu. It's the difference between reading a menu and tasting the food. So if you haven't yet heard how the five steps to a consistent flow of customers, go back after this and get the recording. You should have links to it in your emails. And if not, just let me know, DoveGordon@DoveGordon.net, and I'll send you a link. So the first thing, you know, the goal was – well, Tom, why don't you say what the goal was? What was your goal? What did you really, really want, in your words?
Here's the thing: I wanted, I don't need 100 customers a month. My goal is fairly simple. I want about 2 customers a month coming into my programs. That gives me a very solid program, a very nice lifestyle, and it's very manageable. I can give a high quality service, a high quality coaching program, teach those people. Very high, because my program's, you know, it's high touch, it's high quality, and I'd get overwhelmed. 100 people would be overwhelming. That's not my idea. That for some people that might work. If you have you're selling a widget, maybe you want to sell 100, you want to sell 1,000 a month. I need 2. I need simply 2 sales a month is a nice massive thing, and that's what's happened now, I needed a process to figure out who was out there, get them interested in me. And I needed a crutch to lean on to do a process that I'm not normally comfortable with.
I'm trying to get back to, as I think back to our first conversation, we try to bring you back there, because you told me that what you were looking for is you just needed something that works. I think you used the word evergreen, an evergreen process, an evergreen way. So that's what I want to hear. I think that would be helpful.
Sure. Evergreen, kind of a strange word in that, but it's – I wanted to build a funnel, build a system that when I know what to do with every new name or every new person I meet. So if I get 10 new names on my list, I want to be able to walk them through the exact same process every time to qualify them and see which ones work, so we know which ones have potential. And then I want to take the ones that have potential and try to close them on a sale. And I want to be able to do that consistently, time in and time out, with all the different sources and the different lists and different people we meet, people that come into the association, people I meet on my own, or internet marketing, whatever it is, I want to be able to bring them into that funnel and build an evergreen, meaning that I didn't want to only do a sales pitch like twice a year. I wanted it to be like anytime I meet someone new, that way I could expand my efforts.
Right.
That was what I was after.
And you wanted a clear message, and that's what we're going to talk about as well. You didn't feel like you had a strong message, and that let's talk about that in step one. So step one, again, just a reminder, is get really clear about the problem that you solve and the result that you help create. Because again, people only pay attention to one of two things: either when you're talking about a problem that they have and don't want. And or if you talk about some kind of result that they want and don't have, some kind of experience, some kind of change that they want and don't have. And they have a question in their minds. Everybody out there, those people that we can help through our products and services, they have a question every time they hear a message, see a message, or any kind of advertising marketing that comes from us. They're asking themselves, is this interesting? Is this relevant? Should I pay attention to this? And we need them to say yes. And the only way for them to say yes is if we're talking about a problem or a result. And one of the things that we made sure to do, Tom, is to build on your strengths. Anybody who's familiar with these industry, and anyone who's familiar with online marketing, there was a very large launch not a couple of months back from a slick real estate coach type person. There are a lot of these people out there, and there a lot of them are kind of greasy. So, if you don't mind sharing it, there was a phase you went through where you felt like you, why don't you say it, if you don't mind?
Well, you get irritated seeing it. What it seems like the whole rest of the world is doing well in the same business that you're in, and then you start to question yourself, and you're going, well, why, what are these guys got? Because you're looking at it and like, it's not as good of a program. It's not as good of a system. What's going on here? And then you get in complaint. You hear people complaining about what they're in, but why aren't they looking at me? It's like, what's that guy got that I don't? And that was the constant frustration. But part of it was, you touched on this, is I didn't clearly know my message. It's kind of like not knowing what you want to be when you grow up. Someone asks you, if you can't give a decent answer, if I want to be an astronaut, then I know what I need to do. If I want to build bridges, I know what I need to do. When you're just sitting there and your answer is, I don't know, maybe I'll do this or that. When you don't have a clear answer, you don't have a clear path to where you're heading. And that was where I was stuck with, too. I didn't know how to describe what it was I was after. I mean, yeah, I teach people how to do real estate deals. Great. Well, there's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of other fish in that pond. And why should you come with me? That was a big thing there. So it was, I always felt like something else was missing. I wasn't able to get down to the brass tacks of people, get them to understand get them to understand what I was about and why they should be working with me.
And there was a point in time when you thought that trying to do what they were doing would give you the result, but you're never comfortable with that.
Well,
that's where I'm nudging you.
Yeah, you're hoping the whole industry isn't full of slime. That, or you make the mistake of saying, "Hey, I'll model what I see going on out there," because you don't know whether you're modeling something that actually works. These people could be experimenting with their marketing, and then you're modeling something that might have actually been a failure, which is kind of.
But the worst part was you didn't feel good about it.
No, I didn't feel good about it. And I'm out there. And again, if you looked at my website then, all the copy, all the text was the messaging was a hodgepodge of things that I thought worked well for other people. All mixed and mashed up together. And that wasn't me. It didn't work. And it wasn't resonating with anyone I dealt with. So surprise, surprise, they weren't signing up with me.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I just wanted to point that out because I think it's really important that I think I also went through a certain phase at some point where I thought that you just look at what people are doing and you try that, but it doesn't feel right. And I know that a lot of people who are at a stage where they're interested in what we're talking about, they look around and they I personally hate just imitating. I hate just copying. it just doesn't feel authentic, doesn't feel real. And at the same time, you're not really sure what you should be doing. So I really want to just address that point.
I've thrown my swipe file out or deleted the electronic version of it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing.
Exactly. And that's the point that I'll get to, is that we can build this in a way that really works with your strength. And you can build this in a way that builds on your strength, your unique personality. I did not come to Tom and say, oh, this is what works in your industry. This is what you have to do. That's not what we did. So what did we do? Well, we realized that we needed a clear message, right? You're gone.
Yeah, we started off by figuring out what is it that people are after. And you asked me for a set of names. You said, Tom, introduce me to people who have graduated from your program in the past, people who have applied for your program but said no, and you wanted to start talking to them. And so I introduced you to a handful of people. You arranged calls. And I'll tell you, it was interesting because those calls were recorded and the people knew they were being recorded. And when I listened to it afterwards, you got down to a whole different level of conversation with these people that I couldn't have, partially because they were talking about me. I mean, you're going to say things to a third party you wouldn't say directly to somebody. And it was I found it absolutely eye-opening, including with some of my successful graduated students. I mean, it was nice to hear, why did they come in the program? What did they think about it? And it was a fly on the wall, and it was from that we got – like a real nice insight into what was really going on. How do people view me? How do they view my system, my product? And then we see what the patterns were, and that way we can put together a campaign that went out and found more great people like them.
Okay. Let me just put a little more context here. The reason I wanted to interview people, what I was looking for was to understand what are the problems that they have and don't want that led them to join your program. Because the assumption is, you know, I was looking to interview primarily those who you consider to be really good clients.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, like, who are these people? What problems did they have and not want that led them to join your program? What results did they want and not have that led them to join your program? And when we could understand what that is in their words, then we can take that insight and use it in our marketing to get the attention and interest of other people just like them. Very simple, and yes, it definitely is an art and a science to this. But you've also acquired skills at this point. You don't need me to do that anymore. And I want to mention that because I want people to know that they can learn how to do that also, right? I mean, now that you've done it yourself many times now, you continue to. But let's not go off track. Okay, so let me share with you some of what we learned, right? So I learned from conversations with these people. And I do want to emphasize, I just talked to four people. I'm not sure. I didn't end up talking to all those people. I talked to four people who are in your program. And I came to understand that the problem they have is it's not that they need more information. It's not that, you know, I feel I don't understand what to do. I don't know what – I need more knowledge, book knowledge. For the most part, these are people who already had been studying real estate for months, if not 2-3 years. And they were out there trying to act on what it is that they learned. And the theme that I heard repeated again and again was, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. That was the problem. The problem was, like, you know, that they're expressing that there's this gap between the book knowledge and, you know, this and being street smart and how you actually apply that in the real world. That's the problem that they had. The result that I kept hearing from people is that what they're looking for is they really wanted choice in their life. They really just wanted to be able to not have to go to work every day, to be able to do what – there was nobody there who was looking to avoid working hard. What they really wanted was choice. They wanted the ability to decide when they want to work. They wanted the freedom to travel, the financial ability to support elderly parents or put a nephew through college. These are, I mean, some very specific things I heard. And the reason that they joined the program was because they said, you know, I've been spinning my wheels and I realized that if I want something to change, I need to have the ability to call somebody who has done it before who can set me right in just a few minutes, you know, or a short conversation, point me on the right track and hold me accountable and give me a system that has already worked for him and for many others. So it's because they were so serious about this that that's what they were looking for in the program, and that's what why they enrolled. There's another thing that I uncovered I want to share, and this has to do with self-image. You know, when you're going to do these kinds of market understanding interviews, you really want to ask questions that will help you understand what their self-image is. Self-image simply is about how a person sees himself or herself. And so I asked some questions which uncovered their self-image. And the reason that's so important is because a person's self-image is their truth. That's what's true. And if you're trying to convince somebody in your marketing or sales that they should believe something something is this or that way, but they already believe differently, you're not going to convince them. Rarely will you ever convince them. Just think about it. Who do we think is smart? You know, if we're conservative politically or more liberal politically, you know, who are people who think smart? It's very, you know, for the most part, it's people who tend to agree with us. That's who we think is smart. And, you know, when we can understand who somebody is as they see themselves, and then we can show them how what we're offering is consistent with who they are, consistent with their self-image, so the whole process becomes a lot easier. It's when we try to convince somebody that things are differently than what they already believe they are, that's where we run into a lot of trouble. So I want to understand their self-image, and I used some clever, carefully crafted questions. And what I learned is that the people who had enrolled in your program, when they would come to a monthly RIA meeting, Real Estate Investors Association meeting, those are your monthly meetings, and they'd look around the room, and what they told me is, you know, a lot of people there are dreamers. A lot of people there talk about what they're going to do one day, but we're actually doing it. We're actually out there taking action. And that's how they saw themselves. That was the difference. And the problem was that because they're out there taking action, they're coming to understand that there is a gap between book knowledge and street smarts and actually getting things done. And based on this, you know, Tom, you used to call, you know, when we started, or until three months ago, your company was called, I can't remember anymore, what was it called? Washington Area RIA, right?
So, yeah, sorry, I cut out for a second there. You said I used to call it?
Your business was called the Washington Area RIA, right?
It was the Capital Area RIA.
Capital Area RIA, right. Okay, just explain.
A name that means very little.
Right. And there are other, I mean, there are other RIAs in your area that have similar names, right? We don't have to mention them, but.
Picks a name loosely related to geography and then throws the term RIA in at the end. Yes.
Right. So there are people who. There were people who would get your emails and think that, and then go show up somewhere else for a meeting, or
yes.
Something like that. Yes, people confuse the groups. And Tom felt for a long time that he needs a new name. And what I thought of, not because I'm a genius, but because I really listened to these people, was, if what they want, they feel like they're spinning their wheels. Let's talk about what they really want. They want traction, and that's what we ended up going with. It's now called the Traction RIA. And the Traction Mentor Program. I'm forgetting the names. You'll fill me in. Traction Real Estate Mentors. That's right.
And what's been amusing, Dove, is how many times now I talk to people. They love the name because it's speaking to them, absolutely. And the amount of the times I wind up a chuckle with people because they can't help but to use that word in the sentence. And they're explaining to me like where they're at, like, I just can't get traction, or my marketing's not getting traction, or I'm not getting deal traction, or I'm not. That word comes up all the time, and it's comic now because people realize what they're talking about, and then they kind of smile because they realize why we went through the renaming process, and it fits like a glove.
So I want to just also mention something that popped in my head now. You know, there's so many people out there talking about branding. Branding, you know, especially, I mean, so certainly for large companies, but there are also people, you know, small business branding and so on. And in my opinion, it's just a whole lot of hooey, a whole lot of garbage. Because, you know, for the most part, branding is simply about changing your logo or logo consistency, visual consistency, and so whatever it might be. But a brand, really, at the end of the day, it's how do they perceive you? How does your ideal customer, how does your client, how do they perceive you? What does it mean to them? And what you do, the things you do and the things you say mean a lot more than anything else. So you know, this brand, when people hear it, you have this on video. You shared with me at least two things that you actually sent to me, and I know there were others. But there were people saying, it just really describes what it is that they are. So it connects to people. And so the real lesson here, though, for everybody is, again, I'm trying to make sure that we stay focused on the lessons for everybody, pushing myself back on track. So the real lesson here is that when you deeply understand the problem that people have and the result that they want, it helps focus all of your marketing. It helps focus everything that you're doing in a way that begins to really get the attention and the interest of the people that you most want to work with.
That was the big – I'll jump in there for a sec, because that was the big that was the big realization for me from what you found from doing the client interviews, both potential clients and actual clients. And not only did the rebranding come out of that, but the way that made me feel is just to finally have a name and a brand and something that worked right. But it was the ability to know that I wasn't necessarily after everybody. There's 100 people in the room. I didn't need 100 of the people. I was talking to the 8 people who already had a little experience and felt like they were spinning their wheels. The rest of the room, maybe they'll come around. So that was what was interesting to me, was that I was able to do more by getting more specific on what my messaging is and understanding mm-hmm. the people that are drawn to me for coaching. It's not 100 out of 100. It's, like I say, whatever, using the example, it's 8 out of those 100. And learning mm-hmm. how to get my message and the things I say concise to those people to get them to raise their hands and come forward, that's what's made all the difference.
Yeah, that's a good point, because for me, my business also, I went through more evolutions than I care to talk about myself. But when I finally – what you just described is finding a niche, right? And that's what we actually did. We eventually yes. we found a niche. And we talked about this in the last teleseminar, the 5 steps to a consistent flow of customers. This is – I used that as an example of everybody knows, everybody says you got to find a niche. But usually they get lost – and caught in their own underpants, just talking about demographics and psychographics and things like that don't really matter. The simplest, easiest way to find a niche is to orient around a specific problem and or a specific result. I remember that when I made the conscious decision, I am no longer chasing startups, high-tech startups. Now, where I am, there are a lot of high-tech startups. I don't know if people know, but in Israel, you've got more high-tech startups than anywhere else in the world outside the United States, and it's a tiny country. So there are a lot of high-tech startups, but it was always very frustrating, because all these people, they've got nothing, they've got no money, they have an idea, they think they're going to be the next Google. They have the arrogance of someone who's, the next Google, but nothing, but no experience and nothing to really support it. And at some point I realized, I'd much rather be working with the small business entrepreneur who's bootstrapping, has gotten their teeth bashed in a couple of times, or after a couple of years like I did, and realizes that, hey, it's time to get serious about this. And I just found that, that was where I – and the truth is I'd had those people seeking my help all along, but I wasn't really paying attention.
You get distracted by everyone else. That was the big eye-opener that you taught me, was it was – I'm much better off with the people who they're struggling – in the intermediate phase. The right beginner, maybe. The advanced person, maybe. But my mm-hmm. bread and butter, the sweet spot for me, from what you found out from your research, was that the people that really want you, need you, and are ready to invest in you, Tom, they're frustrated that they're spinning their wheels. They've started and they've stalled, and that's a sweet spot that needs to be focused on. I had never really done any market research or figured out what it was. I never saw that pattern before. Now that that's what I focus on, it's made all the difference in the world.
And this is, I know a lot of people struggle with this idea of making a list of problems that you can solve and results you can upgrade, and then picking one to focus on. I know that people struggle with that. I even got at least one email about that after the last call, saying, "Okay, I made the list. Now, how do I choose?" I'll tell you, here's how you choose. You have to first realize that there is no 100% answer. There's no the right answer. Okay? There's only an 80% right answer. And what you need to do is that if look for the answer that's 80% right for you. And if there are 2 or 3 that come close, flip a coin. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Because, you're not excluding the other 2 forever. Just pick one and build something to talk to that one type of person. The others will find their way to you as well eventually, and you'll be talking in a focused kind of way. But there's one thing that you said before that I really want to point out, because a lot of people, since they find this to be a very hard and frightening decision, and I said this before many times, this is one of the stupidest decisions I refused to make. I resisted it for, I think, 2 years. And But one, you talked about how it's such a freeing feeling, and it really is. I mean, if you want freedom, pick a focus and stop thinking that you have to be, that you have to serve everybody. You really, really don't. Most of us, like, we're not looking to build large corporations. We're looking to build lifestyle businesses that support the kind of lifestyle we want to lead and enable us to contribute to the kinds of customers and clients that we care about. It's so important. Okay, I think we spent a lot of time on that. Let's keep moving. Step two, it's getting late. Step two in the system is create a hand-raising free offer or create some kind of irresistible bait. And the question that your prospects have at this point is, can I trust you? So now that you got their attention and their interest, the next question is, can I trust you? And what we want to do is put together some kind of hand-raising free offer. Again, we talked about this in more depth in last week's teleseminar. You can get the recording, the five steps to a consistent flow of customers and clients. And so what do? We put together let's talk about the free session, the free consultation that you put together. just tell us what's it called again?
We call it the your personalized real estate roadmap.
Okay. And this is a one-on-one conversation, a one-on-one session that you have with somebody who reaches out and asks you for it. And the idea is that this is a roadmap, and you really help people in this conversation. This is not a sales pitch, not at all. It is a strategy session. It is a free strategy session, and you really help people get clarity about where they are willing to go and what their obstacles are, what their next steps need to be, and so on. And they walk out of there with absolute clarity. And at the end of that meeting, though, if it makes sense, and it doesn't always make sense, if it makes sense, you talk about how you can help them further in your coaching program. So your initial reaction to this idea was not positive. Tell us why.
No, it wasn't. And the reason was I had a few years back, someone had said, oh, well, you need to, every time someone requests information, offer them, a 20-minute phone call with you. You're basically a strategy session, 20 minutes, and talk to them. And when I did that it killed everything. It was like killing all my sales. And so I assumed, and then when that was the first thing you're like, oh, we need to build a strategy session. I went, oh, no. I've done that before, and it doesn't work. And I said that to you, and you said, well, wait a minute. Why do you think it doesn't work? What happened? And why are you, you asked me, Tom, why are you against the idea? And I told you, like, look, it was probably you didn't know what you were doing. And I didn't. I was just letting people pick my brain for 20 minutes. And half the time, mm-hmm. people they might get the answer they were looking for, or they got a sense of it, but I wasn't in control of the conversation. And what particularly pointed this out and drove it home, if I needed one more example, was I had some potential clients call. They were interested. I luckily put my recorder on and recorded the call, and then this is before you and I had done any prep on what these calls were supposed to be. And then I sent you the recording, and you listened to it, and your response was, I think I know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. you said it very nicely, and I always told you, don't just give it to me straight. You don't have to sugarcoat anything with me, because I was at the end of my rope. I just want to get this better. So, but you said, I think I know what the problem is. You had no control over the conversation, Tom. You let them talk. You let them take over, and it was it was a disaster, and obviously I didn't make that sell. And it was at that point that we put a structure into place. You showed me mm-hmm. how to walk. You call it the level three conversation. So you talk about how do you take someone on the phone and walk them through these strategy sessions? How do you maintain control? And what was wonderful was that was just an elegantly wonderful, simple technique, and it was done. I've never lost control of a call since, and I've done a few dozen of these now, and it was. It was a simple, elegant solution that worked, and then we built the whole script for, like, what am I walking people through in the process? And it's worked. People come out the other side, and not all of them, but those two people a month that I'm looking for, I'm getting them now.
Not lost control conversation since, I mean, it wasn't an overnight thing. I mean, we'll talk about that more in a minute. But, like, there was a back and forth. Like, I just want people to realize that it's a learning process. Let's just spend another minute on what this is. So designing a hand-raising free offer, designing your irresistible bait, this is about something you can give away, and it's not always one-on-one. Sometimes it's a download on a website, or it could be a free taste, a free trial. We talked about this last week, so go back and listen to that. Even if you heard it once, I really think you should go back and listen to it again if this isn't all absolutely crystal clear to you and you don't know exactly what your next step should be. So go back and re-listen to that. Okay, so then the third step is to design an irresistible paid offer, right? So now once they've paid attention to you and you got their interest – and they say, well, can I trust you? And you've given them some kind of taste, something that answers the question, can I trust you? The next question, they say, wow, that was really helpful. Can you help me even further? So we need to have this paid offer. And for Tom, this is your coaching program. And we all need this paid offer. I mean, ultimately, this is what it is that we want to sell. I talked to a consultant a few days ago. I talked to somebody who has been getting leads, been following up on leads, getting meetings with prospects, and then losing people when they ask him, well, how much does it cost? And they seem to, from what I heard, it sounds like they really like the guy. They really like the guy. When they talk about how much it costs, he doesn't know how to talk about what he does, how to package it in a way that they really want to go ahead. So, you know, it's hourly, it's unclear, it's not so well defined. Anyway, So the answer he told me, he's gotten several times recently told me, is, well, let's talk in the new year. Let's talk in 2012. That's not really the answer we want. It's also not in the best interest of the people who need our help. So we need to learn how to do that differently. So what we did, we looked at your coaching program, and we really took we completely redesigned the way we were offering it. We didn't necessarily change the fundamentals too much, but we changed how we were packaging it and presenting it. Why don't you say a little about that from your perspective?
Well, we restructured it into three levels that made sense and had a good progression between the levels, both in terms of what's included, you know, what people get, and the investment they need to make at each of those levels. And the chart that goes along with that describes that to people. We've spent a lot of time on that, making sure that every line has a blurb to go with it that fits the market, makes sense, and speaks to people about what the benefit is. Because I've always, you know, you always hear, you know, there's features people and benefits people. I am a features thinker. I always think of the feature, and I'm really kind of dry and bland about it. But, you know, it was 99% of the world buys based on benefits, and I struggle horribly personally with trying to describe a benefit, and that's where you said, fine, Tom, write out all the features, and then we went through together and build up benefit statements for each one, and that's made a major difference, because, you know, either if I'm describing it to somebody, I have that as a crutch, you know, kind of my crib sheet on what I'm supposed to be stressing, and I have it public on the website. Here, go and read through, and people go, oh, that's what it is, and they see the benefits of each and every piece of the program, what the benefit is to them. That's been a major difference in people understanding what they get out of the program.
Right. The real lesson here is that we need to understand that how we talk about what we do, like we talked also about last time, you know, the blind beggar, that story, how we talk about what we do, how we package it makes a tremendous difference in how it's received. Okay, so that was step three. And now once we've done these foundational steps for one, two, and three, right, we got their attention, we got the trust, we have something paid to offer that is packaged well. So then we get to step four, and this is about getting your bait, your hand-raising free offer, getting it noticed. How do we go out and get it noticed? And, Tom, we're actually working – we have several HARFOs. We're just talking about one right now just for the sake of time, but we're also building a couple of more. Like there's one or two that you can have sitting on your website to enroll people and to grow your list and so on. We're working on a few things, but let's stay focused on the one-on-one option. And what you did was, you know, you started promoting it. You know, step four was get your hand-raising free offer, your bait noticed. You did this at your monthly RIA meetings.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little about that.
Well, that was, you know, one of the things we said, look, let's make the decision to go with what we already have. We'll build more lists and we'll find new sources in the future, but let's work what you have now, because that's the easiest way to get a rapid result. And so it was, all right, here's here's what, you know, you and I went through. What should my presentation be in front of the group? How do I offer these strategy sessions? What do I say? What does the form look like that I hand out? How am I collecting these? And put all that together. And I mean, I wouldn't even say I didn't do an awesome job of presenting it. It was the first time I got through it and I collected 23 people out of a room of 80 something said, yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. Okay, now, so you know, I always find it interesting, but go ahead.
They asked for that free real estate, for customized real estate.
Session. Yep. Yeah. The personalized real estate roadmap session. Of those 23, I think I did calls with 9.
Right. The others kind of fell away.
What happens to the others? Who knows? That's normal in marketing too. And out of those 9, I closed 2 sales. So I did a 10-minute presentation, got people to fill out the form. I collected 23 forms. I scheduled 9 conversations with people. I did a series of, you know, 9 private one-on-one calls with these 9 different people, and 2 of them came into my program. And that was, again, that's the 2 I need. Those are the 2 I'm looking for.
Right. And those are your first set of the first time you conducted these sessions. So you didn't do
first
them all so well.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing. All of this is, I'm lucky I was even at 80% complete on all of this stuff. I'm willing to take the step when I know it's at least in the right direction. I mean, that first round, this would have been September. The first round, late August, early September. By no means was it perfect. I didn't have a great. I mean, I was. You know, I built this based on your advice as I went along. So I was building it. I did an okay job on the conversations. I do better with them now because I've had more time to practice. We've gone over it. We've refined it. You've listened to more recordings. You know, we constantly refine the system. But at the beginning, it wasn't. It was by no means complete. It was by no means finished. It was by no means perfect.
Right. Okay. Just want to keep moving because I see the clock. There was one point I wanted to make. Let me see if I remember what it was. And that point was, don't remember.
Well, I've got another one.
Okay.
You know, this is the same room.
That's what it was.
It's just, okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, this is a good sign. I'm starting to think more like you. This is good. Right, it was the same room. It was roughly the same people as always, and where I've always watched that money bleed off to other places, other programs, national programs, this program, that program, any program but mine. And now in that same room, I had pulled in this first set of calls. The first sale was $25,000. The second sale was $15,000. I pulled $40,000 out of that one set,
right.
and that's money that would have normally gone elsewhere. And I finally learned how to capture it and keep it in my pocket. And that was a big eye opener for me because it's like, wow, it's sitting there. I just needed to learn how to get those few people that were interested to be more laser focused on them and speak to them.
I'm certain that it's true for all of us. Everybody here, there are people that we're meeting and coming in contact with on a daily basis who want what we need, are ready to buy what we need, but we haven't made it easy for them. And that's what you were doing. I also want to just mention in another week or two, if not next week, the week after, I am planning another free teleseminar in this series where I am going to teach you how to have this kind of free strategy session, how to run this kind of sales conversation in a way that it's really high value. And that was 2 out of 9. That's about 20-something%, right? 20, whatever it is. I'm not going to give away my high math skills here. Okay, let's keep moving. So,
I'm not a math guy either. So, probably. I mean, if it was 2 out of 10, that would be 20%.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. So, step 4 is that's what we were just talking about. Get your free offer notice. And step 5 is make your offer. It's offer the irresistible paid offer. Once people have requested the free offer, whether it's something down, you know, free download or free whatever, make your offer. Now that could be one-on-one like we're talking about. It could also be a sales page that's written properly. It could also be some other, you know, an advertisement. It could be, you know, there's all sorts of ways of doing it depending on what your product or service is. And we're just talking about one particular scenario right now, but it's this this sales conversation and We talked about a little bit about it earlier. I just see some of it. I have a few notes here, and I think we covered this already. We talked about you did 9 sessions, and then here's one. After you did 9 sessions, then you hit a rough patch. Remember that?
Well, the next round of calls, at first didn't go as well, and so you start to worry. Oh, was it just a fluke? Was it beginner's luck? But then I had you listen to a few more calls. We went over things again, and it was like the funny thing was, it popped out the same result again. It just took a little longer. A couple of people needed a little more. There was some back and forth. There were some follow-up calls, which taught me a good lesson too, that it's keep the system in place, to have a mentor you can turn to discuss these frustrations with, but then to get back in there and don't worry about the rough. I got through that rough patch. It wasn't as rough. It was just the chips were falling in a different pattern. So the second round got intensified. So I went, wow, okay. I didn't think the second round was going very well, and yet it produced 2 more clients. So I got my other 2 clients. That was, that was the next month. So I'm still like right on course for that. It worked out well. So it was, I didn't, some of the when I think about it, some of the issue in the second round was that I was veering away from the process without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
You start to, I was developing some bad habits. Like I was doing a call in a certain way, and I had to stop, and I had sent you some things and said, wait, what's happening here? Here's some recordings. Here's my thoughts and feelings on it. What do you think? And mm-hmm. I was just putting some bad habits into place. And so it was good to have you stop me and said, oh, hey, we got to reframe this. We got to redirect on this, and we got just tweak it over here. You were describing me more what the conversation is and isn't, because it's not, there was a point where maybe I was just rushing through some of them, and I needed to slow down and just listen and dig into what people were saying. And it made all the difference in the world.
Okay, great. It's true. That's exactly what you're doing for your clients in your program. And that is that people are out there. They have the book knowledge. They know what has to be done. They know what they need to do. But it's applying it with the help of someone who can look over their shoulder and quickly spot and say, hey, this is what you're missing. It's really what makes a huge difference when you have that. We've walked through the 5 steps. Those are the essentially the 5 steps. How would you describe, looking back, if you just in 1 or 2 sentences, how would you describe this progress? I do want to mention that there still is, we've got work to do. Since then, you've continued to do that. You've continued to make these offers, and you continue to get people requesting free sessions, and you've had that steady, consistent flow of clients. It's been several months. And the most important feature, it seems to me, and I'd like to get your perspective is that it's now you know what to do, and you have something that's repeatable. You're not just trying to figure it out every single time.
I have a process. I have a system. I have a mentor that lets me do things consistently, and then tweak and adjust and keep improving the system as we go.
All right. So we'll open up for questions in another minute or so. In case anyone wants to ask you any more questions, but just whoever's on the call, take a minute now and just really have a question for you is think about what would you really like to see in your business in a year from now? Okay, just take a minute to think about that. Just think about what is it that you'd really like to see? What would you like to see? Get that picture clear. Don't worry about how. A little exercise here. Don't worry about how. If you didn't have to worry about how, what would it look like? And what usually happens for us is that as soon as we start picturing that, as soon as we start thinking about it, there's this voice that pops up and says and gives us all sorts of reasons why we can't do it and points out all the obstacles and so on. My question for you is who's going to help you remember to answer that voice? Because there are answers out there. What I really want you to know is that you can do this. I struggled for 7-8 years. Tom struggled for probably about 7-8 years, each on a different path, different world. And I've helped many people do this already. Tom is a great guy, and he's been very generous with his willingness to share his story in a way that's not, you know, isn't comfortable for everybody. And that's why we're talking to him. Besides, $25,000 sounds, you know, it's catchy, but it's not the $25,000 that's the point. It's not that. It doesn't really, again, it doesn't matter. The point is the process. And it's about having that process, like you said, and it's having a mentor. Because if you have a clear process, and if you have somebody who can look over your shoulders and say, hey, you know, that voice is wrong, here's what you need to do, and it only takes a few minutes or a few hours, that is the only way to really get to that dream. And if you really want the dream, you have to make a decision that you're going to give yourself the tools and the environment and the support system that you need to make it happen. Because it's not enough to know what to do. I think we all know that. It's not enough to know what to do. We all need a support system, and we need the guidance. And that's why I'm putting together this Plenty of Customers Action Mentoring Program. We're starting at the beginning of the new year, but we also are starting a preliminary program for those who are signed up by the beginning of December. First, a little bit about the Plenty of Customers Action Mentoring Program. It's the whole purpose of the program is you're going to end up with a simple marketing and selling system that brings you a consistent flow of customers. You're going to first become very laser focused on who is the right target market for you, just like Tom did and just like I did. And that is, and like we said before, so many people get stuck over here. And a little bit of the right kind of help can save you literally months, if not years, of your life and bring you that much closer to what it is that you really want. You're going to learn how to unearth somebody's self-image so that you can craft that message that they're going to be eager to hear about. You're going to have a compelling free offer that draws your ideal customers out of the woodwork, out of the places where they're hanging out right now, probably right in front of your eyes as well. And they're going to be eager to talk to you to learn more about what it is, what your product or service is. And you're going to learn how to package. And it's not learn, by the way. I keep saying learn, but what I mean is you're going to have a package, a product, a service. It will be packaged in such a way that people really want it. I say learn because it's not about learning. This program, as I said last time we spoke, it's not about more information. It's about acting on the critical 10% of information. You probably know a lot of it already. I'm just going to be giving you enough information to make sure that you can act on what needs to be done. And I'm going to work with you. That's why it's going to be a small group of about 10 to 12 people. We've already filled a couple of those seats and a few more maybes. So, and we're not quite, you know, yet, even in December, and this is only starting in January. So, and finally, you're also going to learn how to lead a sales conversation that leaves people feeling really good about you, whether they go ahead with you or not. Whether they go ahead with you or not, it's really important that you just, you know, yesterday I had a call with somebody and I was quite sure they definitely would not become a client, but I felt they were sincere and I really wanted to help them. And we had that call. Not everybody becomes a client, and that's fine, but you're doing good work along the way. So let's see here. There is, for anybody who is in the program before December, which is a little more than a week, we are going to have a special pre-program workshop where we're going to help you start make some real progress on all this in the next few weeks. So if any of this sounds like you might be interested, want more information, email me, dovegordon@dovegordon.net. Again, this is not something you just click a buy button because I'd rather have 7 people that have the right people than 12 people with some of them not the right people, simply because everybody will do better. So let's have a conversation and see if it makes sense for you. I have you can still schedule a free, consistent flow of customers strategy session with me. I have 5 openings for next week. So if you might be interested, listen carefully. 5 openings next week on Monday and Wednesday. So on Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. Eastern, on Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern, and on Monday at 3 p.m. So we've got those. If you can make any of those times, again, it's Monday and Wednesday next week. The week of, let me just say this because some people are waiting for the recording, the week of November 27th, 2011, you can take advantage of a session on Monday or on Wednesday at 8 a.m. Eastern, on Monday or Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern, or on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern. If none of those work for you, send me an email. We'll see what we can do. Let's see. What else is there? So I just want to, in closing, before we open up for some questions, you can ask me questions. You can ask Tom questions. If you've listen this far, there is something inside of you. You know you can do this, whatever it is that you really that building your business means to you. There's something inside that lets you know you can do this. And you know that you can have this consistent flow of customers. It really, it's about learning the process and getting the help along the way. I said this actually last time, but one of the most important things that I respect in Tom and something that I've had to learn over the years is just doing step one, even if you're not sure what step two will be, because, you know, our brains plant doubts. Our brains give us all sorts of reasons and fears. I can't afford it. I don't have the time. I don't know if it'll work. Whatever it might be. We don't know what it is. We all have them. We all hear them. The question is, are you going to do it anyway? Are you going to do it anyway? Are you going to take step one, even though you don't know how you're going to manage step two? So, there's a fast way to get what you want, and there's a slow way. And, of course, the fast way is to decide to get the help. Make that decision and schedule that session if you feel it's right for you. If you don't, that's fine. You know, I'm not looking to push you into doing anything. I just, you know, it's those of us who sometimes we have this. We know we should do something, but we're afraid. Well, don't give in to that. I mean, we all know that. We shouldn't. Just don't. So make that decision. Take that step one. And I look forward to hearing from you. So, again, you can email me, dovegordon@dovegordon.net, if you have any questions about anything we talked about. Let's open up the line and see if anyone has any questions. And we'll take it from there. Let's see here. Anybody want to ask any questions? I just unmute everybody. Anybody want to ask a question? Okay. Last chance. You can ask a question. Me, Tom.
Dove?
Yes.
Cindy here. I wrote to you today.
And, okay, Cindy.
I guess my question has to do with applying the rules that you've been talking about to more of a retail situation than virtual selling. In other words, you want to sell art. I want to sell art. I want to sell quilted goods.
Right.
I'd love to sell art, but it doesn't seem to sell all that well. And the quilted accessories sell better, but that's not what I was going for. And
right. So
I can make a leap to figure out how you would apply some of this to what I do, but it's not so clear.
Right. Well, you have to realize there definitely are limitations to selling handcrafted products. I mean, there's a severe limitation in your production capability, and that's limited by you, your time, and so on. So right away, we're talking about really adjusting. I mean, there's either you're going to be limited by your production capability, or you're going to have to be very, very creative and aggressive in your marketing, which, you know, I think is definitely doable and is a great idea. But you have to realize that that's something that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to build yourself up so that people want to, in other words, they're buying you and you as much as whatever it is that you create. Because otherwise, otherwise you're basically working really hard for low prices. And either you're selling high priced art or you're selling low priced commodities. And I think that you need to make a decision as to which direction you want to go in. And those are two different paths. Does that help you at all?
It's a very different path. It's very confusing right now.
And yeah, you can't do both. I mean, I don't think. I mean, let me say it this way: if you take the high road, and the high price road, there's a time where you could also add lower price products, I'm sure. But the other way around is not going to be so easy. All right.
Say that again, please.
If you take the road where you aim to sell high-priced goods and people buy because of who you are, because of the personality that you develop and the mark, you know, the image that you the story that you tell and so on, which becomes – that's what people – when people buy artwork, they're not buying – they're buying the story attached to it. It's a whole different approach. I mean, it's not – I mean, the principles are the same, but you have to understand the pain – that someone has, what's the problem they have that the art helps take away, and what's the result that they want that the art helps create. That, you know, some guy paid $102 million a few years back for a 6-foot statue of a guy walking, you know, the man walking, I forget what it's called. If you Google it, you'll see it. It's a piece of metal shaped like a very thin man. $100 million. It's not worth $100 million. What is worth $100 million is the story that's attached to it. It's the marketing. It's the life of the artist that gives that story. So that's one approach when it comes to marketing art and selling art. And you need to decide if that's a direction that you want to go in. And if it's not the direction you want to go in, then essentially you're selling handcrafted products, and you need to decide if that's the direction you want to go in. And if not, then you need to really rethink what you're doing and find some other – say, what do I really want from my business, and find some way of achieving your personal goals by perhaps redesigning what you're doing in a dramatic kind of way. It's as much a strategy decision at this point for you, like a directional decision, as marketing. Marketing, let me just clarify the distinction. Here we're saying, I have a product, I have a service. How do I sell more of it? I think you're at a place which comes a little earlier where you need to say, okay, which direction am I even going in? What am I going to be selling and to who? You understand?
Yes.
Okay. You can. All right, let's take one more. Is there one more person who wants to ask a question? Okay. All right. We do have a lot of people still listening in, so if you're thinking about it, there are people who would feel they would learn something from your question. So let's take one more.
Dave.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Nigel here.
Welcome.
One of the issues that I faced when I started my coaching practice, which wasn't that long ago, it was early days here, back in April,
mm-hmm.
Was that, you know, that voice in the head that says, well, heck, you're not qualified to do this. No one's going to listen to you. What makes you think that you're, any better than anybody else at giving out advice on this? And
mm-hmm.
and I've even had people complete, anonymous surveys that I've sent out about my website and the things that I do, you know, so they don't know that, you know, I don't know who they are that's making the comments, so they feel safer, you know, saying it. And even one or two people said, well, you know, I'll only take advice from somebody who, you know, is already credible, or, you know, mm-hmm. has a lot of success or anything like that. The realization that I came to was that I actually feel much more suited and kind of in alignment with my purpose, helping as many photographers, that's my business niche, as I can to be successful in their business, than I would be trying to work at being successful at my own photography business. And I wonder if, does that make any sense to you? And if, you know, or if so, or if not, can you give me, you know, your thoughts on that?
Just say the last part again. The last question. My mind wandered for a second at the very part that I needed to listen most. So
that's okay.
The last part.
You know, it's basically the issue of, you know, that doubt that exists in our minds as coaches.
Just what was the last? Literally the last thing you said. I heard everything until then. Just literally the last
thing
you said was.
It's just, you know, what would be your thoughts on that type of thinking that can hold people back?
You know, something that made a big difference for me once was when I heard somebody who looked to me like, you know, everything was all set up and everything was all successful, sharing how he really himself, he had spent many years working on that kind of issue, you know, really working on it. And I had been at a point where you know, I'd read a lot of books, you know, and I wrote, let's say, Think and Grow Rich 14 years ago, and it was a nice idea, but I had never really applied it. We have, I think, a certain kind of delusion where we just figure, oh, these are nice ideas, but everybody else out there, they must have something that I don't have, and I need to figure out what that is so I can work. And we talked about it in a certain sense last time. We're just walking right by the goal that's in front of us. And when I heard that this person had actually gotten there by working on things that I had read, I went back and started working on it. And it has been very, very helpful, and I'm still working on it. I think we all have doubts. We all have that voice which tells us that you can't do it, that who are you, that, you know, you're a fraud. There's a word for it, imposter syndrome. You can look it up if you haven't heard of it before. And that is, I think something like 80% of people, have some degree of the imposter syndrome, thinking like you're a fraud. I just think it's part of the way we're wired, and it's part of our challenge. It's something that we have to rise to meet and realize that it's a mind game as much as anything else. Now, if you the question that all boils down to is, can you help somebody with what? If there is something that you can help people with, even if it's a piece of their overall puzzle, but it's a piece, then help people with that piece. And what will happen over time is you get better and better, and you as you're helping with one piece, you have the opportunity to help with other pieces, and your expertise and your experience and your confidence grows. But what definitely does not help is when we sit back and say, oh, I can't help somebody with everything, so I don't know what I'm going to do to grow my business, and we don't consider and we don't realize the value that we have to offer by helping with a piece. And everybody, we can all help somebody with something, and if it's something that we enjoy, we can turn it into a lucrative business. Did that answer your question, Nigel?
Yes. Yeah, Nigel, because one of the things, you have some success stories already, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do.
One of the things that I found infinitely helpful with that kind of like shadow of a doubt syndrome was when I had to get stories together for Dove so he understood my business and what it was, and so that he was able to do those calls and talk to people. And when I had to dig all that stuff up, I was going through people's testimonials. I was going through letters they had written me or emails they had written me, and then audio that had been videos that had been recorded, talking about how great the program was. It was a massive boost. I mean, when I put – because I had to show Dove what was actually happening, and then the process of listening to all that again was just – it was a massive boost, and I said, hey, I've done this for a while, and I'm just going to keep doing this. Some people may not have worked out, but plenty of others have, and that's what I'm after. And so I would pull out all your old letters or think about all your clients, think about all your happy stories, and literally just, like, re-indoctrinate yourself with it. Because
right.
you've done it before, you can do more of it, and that worked out massive when I was, when I was trying to explain – because again, Dove says he's not a real estate guy. I had to tell him, what's my business like and what's it from? And he said, well, show me some, tell me about some people in the past that worked so we can get a sense of what your client was. When I went through all that, I'm like, hey, I've got this. I've got a great set of clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a little while back, I approached one of the industry kind of leaders, if you like, in education. And they were looking for speakers for their next event and that kind of thing. And so I thought, well, heck, why not? I'll ask them and see if they're interested. So I talked to the person on the phone about it. And they said, well, yeah, but what makes you qualified to help people on this? What's your track record? What's your success in doing the job that you're trying to help other people do? Do you have an MBA? Do you have a multi-million dollar business? Do you have this? And of course, I couldn't say yes to any of that. But I thought, hang on a minute. All the people that I talk to, on my free sessions and so on, and the coaching sessions that I do, they all say how much I've been able to help them. Obviously I can't go in there and just fix their entire business from the ground up. I mean, if I could do that, heck, I'd be a multimillionaire, but I can, there are certain parts of it that I really can fix. And I've got some great testimonials from people on that.
I'm going to frame that particular question in a different kind of way. And here's how. I don't know if this, we can't really get into it now just because we're over time, but I think you'll find it helpful if I simply frame it for you in this way. When you call up that person and talk about having that association meeting and so on, you are now in a sales conversation, okay? And when somebody asks you and someone says, well, why you? A big part of the art and science of a sales conversation, and again, I'm going to share the basics of it in a week or two. This is actually kind of advanced, right? I don't know if we'll get to it in that part, but I'll mention it now. a big part of the art and science of it is being able to understand when someone says something or asks a question, what are they really asking, right? Mm-hmm. And when somebody asks you, well, why you? What's your qualifications? What are they really asking? And, you know, I mean, just for example, what they might really be asking is, you know, how I'm going to have to go back to the committee and convince them that you're good. I'm not making a decision on my own, probably, in that particular situation. Help me look good. But instead they say, well, do you have an MBA? Do you have this? Do you have mother tongue level Latin or whatever it is that's, you know, we only want people with 5 years experience and, you know, in whatever it is. In widget design, it's not the 5 years experience that they want. Not the 5 years experience. It's something else, because the 5 years experience to them, it represents something. It's a representation of what they really want. In negotiation, this is called the distinction between the position and the interest. People will take a position and say, you know, an MBA is important, but what's their interest? What's their underlying interest? So was that helpful by reframing that for you?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to stop here, and I just invite anybody again. You can send me an email, dovegordon@dovegordon.net. If the times that I have, the slots I have open aren't necessarily available right now, send me an email anyway, and we're, you know, looking forward to getting started. We're going to get started in the beginning of in early December with a preliminary program to help you really get clear on your niche, which, again, it's by getting really clear who's your ideal customer, target market, understanding the problem. And those people who are in early are going to get that extra early. So if you have any questions, just send me an email. I'm accessible. I care. And I'm going to be working hands-on with a small number of people throughout the first part of next year. All right. Thank you, Tom, very, very much. I really appreciate it. And
thanks,
thank you, everybody who's still on the line. And have a good day. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Your conference recording has stopped.